Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Romans chapter 12. And going to look at the New International Version. Just one verse of scripture. I've been fascinated in recent days about how some people seem to stay on fire and other people just get complacent and lose their passion, lose their fire. Romans chapter 12, just one verse, verse 11. Which reads, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let's read that together. New International Version, Romans 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal. I can't hear you. Let's try again. All together. Ready, set, go. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Father, thank you for tonight. It's a special night. Power God here, people healed, people touched, people encouraged. In the moments that remain this evening, I pray that you'd release great encouragement and zeal, passion for your kingdom, for the things of God. We thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you have the freedom to pray in the Holy Ghost, go ahead and do it right now. May thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Pastor Bob Nath on the second row, welcome to back to Alaska. He's a longtime Alaskan living in Lewiston, Idaho. Knows some of our family down there in Lewiston. He's pastored for years, pastored here in on the peninsula, and his son, who we know, Adam, just got married, and great worship leader. God bless the whole Nath family. Welcome to Kings once again. We love you, brother. God is good. Every thoughtful believer ought to ask themselves this question. Are you as on fire as you used to be? Are you as enthusiastic? Are you as zealous than when you first got saved? I've told the story before. I got really touched by the Lord in a very profound way, and it has been that way successively by the grace of God in my life. But I remember distinctly worshiping. I think we worshiped for an hour that night. I soaked my clothes completely through. I'm talking dripping, soaking sweat in the midst of an air-conditioned facility. And I remember sat down, I was out of breath, and my calves were tight from jumping and running and spinning. And I sat down, and I had this well-meaning auntie tap me on the leg and say, "You're in the honeymoon stage." And I said, "What?" She said, "You're in the honeymoon stage. You're on fire, son." I'm like, "Amen." And I didn't understand what she meant by honeymoon stage. But I come to understand that there's a thinking in some people's minds that, you know, you can get on fire for God, but then you just mature. Or should I say rot. And you get on fire for God, but, you know, now that you're older, you're more mature. Are you as on fire and zealous for the things of God than when you first got saved? Or have you waned? Zeal for God, as this text, never be lacking in zeal. Say that with me. Never be lacking in zeal. How is your zeal, your level of zeal, passion, fire? How is your level of passion and fire? I remember hearing this story about this dog that would hardly move. And the way they would see if it was still alive is to take a mirror and put it next to its nose. And if it steamed a little bit, then they knew the dog was alive. Are you like that? Do people actually know that you have a love and a passion? Have you ever seen the Proverbs talk about it. It's Solomon, things that make him wonder, the way with a young man and a virgin. Have you ever seen two people in love? No? I'm going over here. A bunch of celibates, I guess, over here. God bless you. Has you guys ever seen anybody like head over heels in love with each other? Have you ever seen that? What does that look like? I remember Karen and I mean, I had a 1969 Pontiac Le Mans. It had a 454 in it. And that thing needed some new suspension, but buddy, it had some heat under the hood. And I worked in a place called Lahaina, and I had her picture over the speedometer. And when I would finish the night shift, I managed to pioneer in, which has since burned down, regrettably, a horrible fire in Lahaina. May God touch all those who were affected by it. I would get out of the, I would close down the restaurant, I would get in my car, and I'd and I would look at that picture and be like, yes! Burr! I would set it on fire. I mean, I just couldn't wait to not be looking at a picture, but to be looking at you. There was a passion. There was a fire. Do you have that for God? Or has it been watered down? Has somebody thrown water on your wood? Are you on fire? Do you still have zeal, or have you ever had zeal? What is it that gives you zeal? Zeal for the house of God. The scriptures are marked with people who had zeal. Numbers 25, if you want to turn there, you can. There's a man, his name is Phinehas. He's a youth leader. Phinehas is a youth leader. Numbers 25, you can mark it. I'll tell you the story. Israel is on the way to the promised land, and they pass through this land, I believe is Moab. And they try to get approval to pass through, but they don't want them to pass through. And that's where Balaam and Balak and the donkey that spoke to the prophet. How many of you heard of the donkey that spoke? The false prophet comes to bring a curse on Israel, and God turns his words because you can't curse what God has blessed. That goes on to tie into what I was saying before. There's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. God's blessing breaks every curse. There's nothing any witch or warlock can do. There's nothing anybody can do if you're living for God. Now, if you're not living for God, then you can put a bullseye in your chest and wait for impact. I would highly advise you to choose to live for God. So Balaam and Balak, and they can't be cursed. But this false prophet teaches them how to curse Israel. Just send the harlots down. Get them over into fornication, and God will stomp on them himself. They'll be breaking moral code and breaking covenant with God. And that's what they do. And this curse breaks out. And Numbers 25, you see them weeping. You see Moses, you see the leaders weeping. And one of the leaders, in front of Moses, in front of all the other leaders, one of these Israelite young leaders takes a Moabite woman. I mean, I don't know how to describe it to you. I mean, can you imagine somebody just coming in here with a bottle of Jack Daniels and just come in slinging curses? hammer half the thing in front of the congregation, smash it on the ground, flip everybody off, curse and scream and go defile somebody over in the corner. How long do you think that would happen? We have security. Believe me, they wouldn't even be out of their seat because I'd drop them. I am my own security. Can I get a better amen? Not going to let anybody come running roughshod in here. But we have a whole plan. You need to put in a part of your plan. Help Pastor Daniel stay dignified. I almost knocked someone out in my church. I'm going to tell you the story because I feel like it. And you don't have any notes, and I only have a few notes. I'm zealous. I have a gift of zeal. I know what God's delivered me from, and he burns in me like a fire. I can't help myself. Come on, raise your hand if you want zeal in your life. You need it. Never be lacking in zeal. That's the word. Never be lacking it. Never be lacking it. You're not very zealous tonight. Never be lacking it. Absolutely. We used to let people come and do weddings. Minister, Pastor Vicky probably remembers this, and maybe some others as well. We had people want to borrow our facility to do weddings, and so we would rent the facility out, and they would do the weddings, and we had all kinds of rules, okay, like no alcohol. No alcohol, and you can't have a Satanist doing the wedding. You know, you have to have, we change everything. You can't rent this place to do a wedding. We're not a wedding rental place, and I'm not a rent-a-pastor either. That's somewhere else. No, this is not a wedding venue. It is for those who are members. We only do weddings for formal members. Because to be a formal member, you have to agree that marriage is between a man and a woman. And we have all kinds of agreements that are biblical, and we have the right to do that. So we're never doing a same-sex marriage, and we will never have a defiled thing up in this place. We love people, but those are the rules. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Man is man, women are women. But back then, we were a little ignorant and hadn't experienced some of the pain, but it ended right after this event. We made a new policy. No more weddings. And so the wedding took place, and I'm there kind of seeing things happen. And all of a sudden, there's red cups. You know the red cup. Anybody know the red cup? All of a sudden, there's red cups everywhere. Somebody is serving stuff out of the back of someone's pickup truck, and it's come in. I mean, it's like all of a sudden, there's red cups everywhere. Everybody's got red cups. I'm like, what's going on with the red cups? And I'm in the pulpit, and I'm seeing the red cups. I'm realizing people are drinking alcohol in my sanctuary. I'm so grieved that I'm repenting on the spot. I'm like, I will never, oh God, we will never do that. And instantly appears Brother Red Cup. Here he is, standing next to me. Hey. I'm like, hey. He's like, so. I can't quote to you what he said to me. He said, so you believe all this? And then he made an expletive. I clenched my fist and cocked it back. And he began to curse God and curse the church and curse the work of what we're doing. It was everything I can do to just not give him some dental work. I said, dude, get off of the stage and get away. Get out of here. He's like, okay, this is rude. I said, yeah, I haven't even begun to be rude. Well, you should have won him to Jesus. Well, that's not what crossed my mind. What crossed my mind is wanting to hurt him. Zeal. Phineas stopped the plague, soon to be Minister Butcher. Phineas stopped the plague because when the guy came in drinking the fifth and just all hammered and cursing and defiled, what he did is he took a javelin and he went out and followed them into the tent. You know what they were doing in the tent? What? Well, there's children here, but let me just tell you, he didn't need to strike them twice. It was one shot and it went through both the man and the... Yes, and they were dead. And you look at that text of scripture and it says this promise from God, because Phineas was zealous for my honor. zealous for my honor? Are you zealous for the honor of God? Are you zealous for the church? Are you zealous for the kingdom? Or are you zealous for some lust that you have, or some greed, or some mammon? What are you zealous for? What moves you? Back when I was a young man, I just couldn't wait to see my beautiful wife. I still feel the same way. But more than anything, it's God's power, God's zeal, God's word that dwells in me. That's a fire shut up in my bones. I have some suits that are custom suits on the inside. And the inside of not every one of them, but on the inside of many of those pockets is that quote from Jeremiah. His word is like a fire shut up in my bones. Zeal. Zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. You think about Elijah. Elijah faced a backslidden king, backslidden kingdom, broken people, prophets of Baal, Ahab and Jezebel, 1 Kings 18 and 19. He's ministered to by an angel and he gets a word from the Lord who gives him direction in that cave. I mean, he calls down fire, but then some woman with makeup terrifies him. I think he's exhausted or I don't know. He runs, hides in the cave, most likely the cave of Moses, where God spoke to Moses, and he gets fresh instruction, and he comes out throwing oil everywhere. One of the things I've discovered in my life, if I will stir myself for zeal for the house of the Lord, for souls, for the things of God, he begins to just decimate the enemy in front of me. Have an offensive mindset in Christianity. Quit trying to protect yourself. God will protect you if you just do his will. You just start throwing the javelin and watch God fix it all. David was zealous for the Lord. He worshiped God. He worshiped in a linen ephod and was criticized by his wife, who was bitter and in need of healing, which is understandable when you study her life, as Pastor Carrot has preached here before. I will yet become more undignified before the Lord. He was zealous. Jesus expressed great zeal and purity for the temple. Where is your zealous meter hitting right now? How zealous are you? He said, well, isn't that up to the Lord? No, it's a gift, but you can cultivate it. I said, you can cultivate it. I have felt at times not feeling zeal. And it says never be lacking in zeal. I've felt at times where is the fire? Where is the passion? Well, I don't feel like winning souls. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like worshiping. Lord, help me. And I know the difference. And what I do when I'm feeling a lack of zeal, a lack of fire, is I position myself under the spout where the glory comes out. I will get into a place of prayer. I'll get to hearing some great preaching and teaching. I'll confess myself to the Lord, to my wife. I'll begin to pray. I'll pray in tongues for a prolonged period of time. And what will happen is the fire comes back on you. You listen, there's all kinds of things that want you to get you discouraged, want you to get to throw in the towel, want you to get you to quit, want to get you distracted, want to get you focused on the wrong things. Never be lacking in zeal. Come on, say, never be lacking in zeal. The word translated zeal is the same word that's translated business in the King James Version. It's another word for diligence. The word translated lacking is really the word for slothful and lazy. Never be lacking, never be lazy. Now that's interesting. Diligence, laziness. Are you saying that zeal has something to do with diligence and discipline? Yes, I am. If you allow your mind to stray and begin to think about the things of the world and you begin to get all tied up in that, you will lose your zeal. You will lose your fire. So you need to be diligent, not lazy, to know the word, to speak the word, to share the word, to let the word dwell in you richly, to love one another out of compassion. deep love for one another. Position yourself. I've been practicing some things in my marriage. My wife, I'm not sure, knows about it, but I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. I am practicing. I think she might be noticing. You can tell me later. I'm practicing that when she asks me to do something, I get up and I do it. And he said, is she your boss? Absolutely. What are you talking about? Well, I'm the head of my house and she's the neck that turns the head. We function together. We submit one to another. We have different roles. I have a clear role of leadership in the house. But she has a role of leadership too. And I found oftentimes that I'm distracted. She has to call my name, Daniel, pastor. And then I'm like, yes. reading the news, I'm doing something important. Now, there are those times, but I'm practicing. Have you noticed? Anyway, I'm practicing that she says things. Like she'll just be cooking and she'll just say things. She just thinks out loud. Oh, that bag of groceries I left in the truck. And I'd be like, and I go right out to the truck. I do not want to go out to the truck. She's the one that left them in there. I don't even know they were there. I'm doing something else. I'm studying the word. I'm practicing getting up. I am being diligent to stir my zeal to feed her love languages, which is acts of service. I took the five love language thing. It's acts of service. Look at, she's twinkling at me right now. Look at that. Oh, you're gonna make me all turn red, embarrassed, Pastor Karen. But I'm convinced that playing out in unusual ways, like this morning. She said, my name is Karen, and my beautiful husband and I passed. I thought, yeah. She called me beautiful if you were here. I think that's because I've been listening better. I'm not being lazy in my zeal to serve her and serve the Lord. I'm trying. I might just be at like 50% range, but I'm better. You're welcome. Are you diligent to stir zeal? It's not just something that comes on you. Church is not something I do on Sunday. I'm serving God Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every day. I'm thinking about the Lord when I go to sleep at night. I'll be rejoicing in all the things that God did. He healed people, saved people, delivered people. And as I go to sleep praying in tongues, my wife will be asleep easy 20 minutes before I'm out. And I'll say, oh God, thank you. Give me a dream, talk to me tonight. And I go to sleep and I have dreams. I give him my sleep and he gives me dreams and he talks to me and I wake up and the first thing in my mouth is, oh God, I love you. My Lord, my God, my King, my everything, I worship you. I'm stirring my faith. Now, if you're polluting yourself on Netflix all the time, if you're polluting yourself on the reels, if you're polluting yourself through TikTok and looking at things that stir unholy emotions for somebody else or something else, then you're gonna put water on your wood. You're not gonna end up with fire. You won't be a Phineas. And what we need is we need a Phineas. We need an Elijah. We need a David. We need people that are filled with passion for the house of the Lord. Zeal for the house of the Lord consume Jesus. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The best way I can translate that is, anybody ever heard of women's aglow? I'm glad they don't have men's aglow. That sounds queer. But Women's Aglow is a great organization, has been for years. That's the word. The word is translated, fervor is translated aglow. It's being on fire. It's set on fire by the Spirit. You can set yourself on fire. You don't need a pastor for that, although I think everybody needs a pastor. You need to learn to cultivate the fire yourself. And if you get complacent thinking that it's something that you just come to get when you come to church, you've missed it. You have to cultivate the fire. My job is to teach you how to cultivate it, to bring it to you, release impartation and equipping, yes, but so that you know how to tap in and receive strength from heaven. How to encourage yourself in the Lord. David at Ziklag, he lost everything. The men spoke of killing him, and it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to set yourself aglow, ladies? Men, do you know how to set yourself on fire? I'm not using a glow for men. I just don't like it. Men, do you know how to do that? Do you know how to cultivate fire so that you can stand up and in a stiff wind declare the word of the Lord and move forward in the face of opposition? Shake yourself from apathy. Shake yourself from lethargy. Shake yourself from being dead. God doesn't want a dead church. He wants an on fire church, which is what we hope to be. And you've got to cultivate that. You have to purposely cultivate it. Serving the Lord. I believe that God is going to revive people as we move on into the fall. And I believe that we're going to double. I'm going to say it again. I believe that we're going to double in size again. If you've been with us for any length of time, I've said that over and over the years. And every time we say it, by the grace of God, it comes to pass because you believe it. And I believe that we're going to double in size. Could even happen by the end of this year. Can you say yes? It will not happen without zeal. It will not happen by a complacent spirit. You know what complacency is? It's just like, well, the Lord knows. It's an example of it. Well, if it happens, it happens. Well, the Lord knows my heart. I trust him. Miracles don't come to those who just sit in a place of apathy and complacency. Zeal and passion. I think about the miracles that he's done for our church over the years. It did not happen by us resting on our laurels, listening to Vineyard tapes, and hoping one day. It happened by us getting off our blessed assurance and beginning to decree and declare and take bold steps of faith and confidence by zeal and passion and fire, by the word of the Lord dwelling within us and believing in it and then moving out in faith. That's how it'll happen for you. That's the kind of church we need to be. That's the kind of church we are. I had somebody say, man, this church is like just a little bit extra. You know, our world needs extra. And God, one of the things that means we're going to have to break off some things if you're going to become zealous. You're going to have to break off complacency. You're going to have to break off fear. Can I have keys, please? You're going to have to break off fear. We did a job of that tonight. Don't let fear get you. Don't yield to fear. Don't cave into fear. Don't rehearse fear. Don't speak it. Don't speak it over your life. The power of your words. Compromise. Got to get rid of compromise. If you have compromise in your life, you got to get rid of it. Holiness matters. Purity matters. Your anger problem matters. Is that my keys coming? Thanks. You got to get rid of complacency. You got to get rid of fear. You got to get rid of compromise. Everybody say, I'm not going to compromise. Thank you, sir. Compromise will try to get you. You got to get rid of laziness. Slothful. Lazy. Paul writes and says, warn those Cretans are lazy sluggards. Can you imagine? Whatever ethnic group you come from, and I'm speaking about your ethnic group and say they're lazy sluggards, rebuke them sharply. Why would he say that? Because they were. It was a cultural thing of being lazy. I've seen cultures where there's laziness. That's not a biblical quality. That's not something that you'll be commended for, being lazy. Not feeling the love right now. Not feeling it, no, no, no. Not feeling it, maybe you're lazy. Lift your hands to heaven. We desperately need to be set on fire. You need to be set, ladies, aglow. Dovra Maya Kalanamboho Fra Bankandea. Deve jete on Kalarabambranda Daibaye. Mende and Deshe Ambo Ondosho on Longalana Baya Shadea Kaha. Bebranda Lana Kalanam Bambrondo of Rebende Rebea Shadea Kalanamba Bramba Bambramba. Fresh fires being sent from heaven to those who long and yearn for it. Fresh fire is going to come down upon your time with me at home and corporately. Fresh fire is coming upon you in the highways and byways. For I am raising up a Phinehas generation. I'm raising up those who are not man pleasers, or those who are lazy, or those who are filled with fear. For even the fearful and the cowards will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm raising up a people of bold confidence, people on fire, filled with my spirit, not lacking zeal. I'm raising up men, I'm raising up women, I'm raising up your children, your little ones, to preach, to pray, to prophesy. Look for me to do it. Don't hinder the move of the Spirit of God. Turn off the TV. Put aside the things of time and tradition. Stir yourself, position yourself under the spout where my glory will come out. Position yourself in the place of being filled to overflowing. Read the word. Let it dwell in you richly. Serve God with fire and zeal and passion. I will do for you what I declare in my word. I will not leave one thing undone, says the Lord. Only stir yourself. Stir yourself with holy passion. Stir yourself, never be lacking in zeal, the spiritual fervor. Deal with your complacency. Deal with your fear. Deal with your laziness. Deal with the compromise. Cut it off, says the Lord. Woo! My, my. For those that might be new, that was a word of tongues interpreted, prophecy, prophetic word, word of exhortation, encouragement. Lift your hands to Jesus. Let the fire of His Spirit come upon you. Oh, in service to the Lord, the text says. Go to verse 11 for me. Romans 12, 11. Put it on the screen again. In service of the Lord. In service of the Lord. Romans 12, 11, if you would. In service of the Lord. Never be lacking zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor. Notice, but keep your spiritual fervor. That's not God keeping your spiritual fervor. That's you keeping it. You get in the word every day. You develop a prayer life every day. You develop obeying Him, living for Him, talking to Him. You develop a discipline of tithing, of giving, of praying. And it says in serving the Lord. It's not just fire so your hair stands on end. I'm glad your hair is standing on end. I'm glad for the touch of God where you can feel it and you can sense it. But the fire of God is for serving God. It's not just so they sit there and say, I'm on fire. And then they, like, everybody look at me, I'm fire, I'm on fire. No, it's on fire to do something. It's to set the captives free. It's to deliver you and me. The fire of God is to resist the devil in all of his ways. The fire of God is to be a witness. The fire of God is to be an example, to be like a burning, shining lamp unto God, to be filled with the fire, to be filled with zeal, to be filled with spiritual fervor in serving the Lord, in serving Him. If you don't serve God, please listen to what I'm saying to you right now. By the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what I tell you. If you don't get serving God in some capacity, you will be warped in your discipleship. You must give out. The Dead Sea is dead because it does not have any outflow. You're getting filled. You're getting fed here. I mean, my God, we had like 12 ribeyes, a stack of mashed potatoes and gravy all over everything with your favorite vegetable for those of you that eat it today. An incredible meal is served to us today. Now, what are you going to do with it? Going to be a little glutton and come back Wednesday? My God, eat it. Go home and let that work in you faith, and let it work in you action. Let it work in you good deeds. Let it work in you prayer. Let it work in you a passion for your neighbor, a passion for your loved ones. Call and repent to your father and mother. Do whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you, serving them. Never be lacking in zeal. Read it with me. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual serving the Lord. One more time. Never be lacking in, but keep your spiritual fervor. One more time. With all your heart. Ready, set, go. Shout to God all across this place. He'll put an anointing on you to serve him. He'll put power on you. I've known people that wanted an increase in his anointing, but they're not willing to use what they already have. If you don't use what you already have, why would God give you more of what you're already not using? He wants to set you on fire. He wants the oil of heaven to come upon you. He wants to use you to be his vessel. Cleanse from the former things now used for noble purposes. He wants to set you on fire. He wants to set you on fire so that you could be a fire starter. The Lord is raising up firebrands.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.